Welcome to Sabrina Artel's Trailer Talk. I'll bring you all kinds of stories from all kinds of people. Whether it's a live public conversation and we're speaking from the kitchen table of my 1965 Beeline travel trailer, from the studios or on the streets, please sit back and enjoy the conversation right here this time every week. I'm at the Osheti Sakoin camp. The sacred fire, one of them, is to my left. I'm looking out past the tree line where the horses are kept, to the river, to the sacred sites. There are different camps surrounding me here at Standing Rock. It is Saturday, November 12th, 2016.
If I sing this song, I want to see everybody dancing. I want to see people standing around. This is the whole purpose of singing round dance. And get everybody out there and dance around. It's a friendship dance.
I'm going to be traveling from camp to camp, looking for that special no dapple girl. She's a special night. She's full of sugar and spice. She goes from making fried bread to the front line.
Cedric Goodhouse.
Cedric, thank you so much for speaking with me. We're at the sacred fire. And your name?
Sissy Goodhouse.
So I'm just wondering if you can share with me what your vision is for this camp, for these camps, for the sacred place, and for what's been happening here.
Wow, vision. I don't know. But when we first started this camp, it wasn't necessarily, let me take you back a little bit further than that. When I found out, just by happenstance, going to a meeting about the proposal that was being made to do the pipeline under the Missouri, I asked our chairman if he would come to our community and tell us what was going on. He did. He came and talked to us, told the community what was going on. And he stood there and he said, I didn't know they were going to do this. You know, and people have gotten mad at me because I've said this. I've told people that. But that's okay, because that's where my first prayer was. My first prayer is for our leaders. Because if they didn't know this was going to happen, you know, and yet they are the ones going to be the ones that were going to have to undertake this fight in a way that a lot of people are going to depend on. My first prayer was for them, the chairman, and our tribal council and people like that. So that's what we did. We had ceremony. We had a ceremony to begin with. And when we did that, part of our ceremony was we went and we prayed to the four directions, and up and down, and sent this prayer out to the universe. This is what came about. This is what came about that, you know, because it gave people an energy. Energy that is sometimes undescribable. And sometimes it is describable. And usually in terms of real emotion. We've heard today, a lady just shared with us that this is a dream of hers. And she didn't know this was the place until she came here today. And that's common for a lot of people who have come here. Some people didn't know why they came here until after they came here. Some people have come here and have never left, although they came to visit. And then there are those that come here, you know, knowing why they're here. But we all share that same energy. Is we all concerned about three things, the life givers. That's the air, land, and water. Because those things aren't regenerable. they don't regenerate. There's only so much of those in this world. Only so much air, so much water. You know, we're drinking the same water that was here at the beginning of time. The same air from the beginning of time. The same land from the beginning of time. You know, and we're getting to a point where we have to be real deliberate in what we do with that. So that's what our inner, what this energy is bringing out to people. And this is the, I guess, if there's a vision in that, that's the vision. Is that people, we were looking for that. That type of energy to be instilled in everything. From decision makers to political people to legal people to social people, everybody. That regardless of what we do in this world, in our lifetime, that we can no longer just do it here and now. We have to do it for, once again, looking ahead 7 generations.
When exactly did you get here? When exactly did this begin for you?
The camp started April 1st, but our fight started February 26th. And February 27th, when the chairman came to our meeting, March 4th, that Friday, we had ceremony. That's when our fight started. Because it's our water. It has everything to do about water. The water doesn't regenerate, you know.
What is your experience of being here from the beginning, April 1st, to now, the middle of November, to see that we're at, 5,000 plus people, and all different kinds of people are coming from around the world to stand here in solidarity with your nation? What is your experience? Has there been a transformation for you during these months and during this time of protection of the water?
Mine has not changed because of initially being here to begin with. And I think that's protection of the water is our initial goal, and we should never lose track of that goal. But in this process, there's been other things that have came into play. There's been, you know, other issues or whatever that have come into play. And Leonard Peltier, and Keep It in the Ground, and all kinds of green initiatives going on. But we have never wavered from our initial fight of keeping the water clean, protecting the water. That's what we want. We want that to always be the top priority. And every now and then we have to remind people that, you know, we keep that at the forefront.
And is there anything you can share with me about the sacred fire which we are sitting with now?
Before camp started anything, we came over here. There was a smaller camp across the river. That area was getting overloaded, and they knew that they'd probably have to expand it. And they looked at this area over here.
I got a brother looking for a ride.
So what we did was that we went and we got up.
Going that way.
We came over here.
Take a ride right away.
And we had ceremony. My wife and I and just a few other people.
San Diego
about
area.
Six of us got together, and we came over here. We looked across over here, looked down around the valley here, and we prayed, and we dug a hole and started a fire. That's what we, our fight was all about. This is part of what we wanted to do here, was to initiate that fire. And because our bands were called Ocheti, Ocheti Shakoing, Ocheti, they just refer to as a stove now. But at one time it had to do with the fire, 7 council fires. And the reason why is because every teepee had its own fire. You could build a nation around that fire. You could build your family around the fire. Everything, all teachings happened around that fire. So that's what we looked at when we opened up this fire. Part of our energy was, you know, we would be putting a call out for people to fire help us, and we wanted to have this fire here so that we could keep that in mind, you know, what the teachings that we needed to keep at the forefront of this fight for clean water. Also to have people come and have a place to pray and offer tobacco. So that's why we started this fire. I'm planning on staying here till this fight is over. I live in this area. Everybody that comes to camp came from other places. I live here. This is my home. This is where we born and raised our children here. I don't go any other place. This is my home.
And this camp has also become your home?
Oh, yeah. This is home to everybody. This is the world's home right here.
The world's home. When I told a friend I was going to be here, he said, that is the most important place to be in the world right now.
Oh, yeah. In times past, you know, people were driven to areas because of the sacredness of it. This holds a lot of that, a lot of those things, sacredness. There's people were in a valley, and our people are buried around these hills all the way around this valley. And there's a river to the east, and a river that comes from the west. You know, there's a lot of significance here. So this is what generated this, the energy is what keeps us strong, keeps all this, everybody coming here strong.
At 7 o'clock behind the medic tent,
Cedric Goodhouse.
Cedric, thank you. And now, please introduce yourself again.
I am Sissy Goodhouse.
So you are the wife of Cedric. Cedric is your husband. I was just speaking with Cedric. So I know you were here during this conversation. You've been a part of this conversation listening. Now I would love to speak with you and hear from you, and you that has been here since the beginning, and your role here since the beginning, and some of the organizing, and your role as a woman, the women as water protectors that are here.
Well, most of what I do is support the protectors when we go and pray on the front lines. My husband and I sat out there when they first started digging up at the protest site in August, and I cried when I seen them started to dig, because the water is part of us, you know, like a brother, and I felt a deep hurt and wanted to do anything that I could to stop it. Even if it meant just going there and to pray, and my mobility is not like it used to be. But the young people would come and make sure we had our chairs, and you know, we had our water, and we even forgot to eat a couple days there, I think, till we got home. And luckily our daughter was there, so she had dinner waiting for us. And I speak with some of the young ladies, you know, they want to ask questions, and I help support with the ceremonies. I do take care of the food and, you know, do that part of it, and the prayer flags and things, I do those to help with the ceremonies and preparation, so we can have prayers for the camp and for guidance. And here at the camp, I come and encourage, you know, the young people and all the people that are camped here, because our prayer is always for Miniwichoni, our sacred water, and we can't lose focus of that. And there's things that may occur, you know, day to day, but if we keep that focused, you know we'll stay in our spiritual way of life, and that's what's going to help us to win. And we have to encourage our young people to believe, and it's going to happen. So we do whatever we can to support the campers. Some of them come to our house and wash clothes, shower, eat before they leave, and You know, they might stay overnight, and even our sons, they live here, you know. So they don't stay home very often. If they do come back, you know, they just take care of business and come back to the camp. And they do that. I encourage them to do that for all our people, so our people may live.
How did the organization begin, like the organizing of the food, of the prayers, of this expanding community, which is this communal community? How is that happening? How is it working? And has it been the women who have been primary in organizing that?
I guess it would say our tribe. You know, our tribe has helped, and we've also, you know, the kitchen just grew. I was here when there was two tents here, and after the two tents, you know, people made a pot of soup and started sharing, and that grew. Everybody just stepped in and, you know, contributed, and as the camp grew, you know, it kind of like everybody found their purpose, you know, to what to do,
and
so that's good.
Rosa's kitchen over here to the north side.
So I think it's really developed, like on its own. And of course, we do have our tribe has an event. Our coordinator, his name is Everett Ironize. The tribe hired him to help with the camp, and you know. And before that, there was we had these four men that were having the ceremonies. The chairman had asked them to be advisors for the camp, for guidance and for spiritual guidance for him, and it just evolved, seemed like, from there.
So it keeps evolving, and now there are 5,000 or 6,000 people living here on these sacred lands. And I'm just wondering, what does it feel like for you that you began with your tribal nation and it has expanded to include many other tribal nations, other indigenous people from around the world, and also people of color that are not indigenous, white people, you know, just all different kinds of people that are now coming to stand in solidarity and to assist in any way they can?
You know, the president, the police, all of them, we need the white people to stand up for us, because they're going to listen to them. It's obvious the way they've treated the water protectors, you know, the way they've treated our people and our elders on the front lines day to day. You know, they have no regard for us. And so we need the priests that came, the clergy that came and prayed, we need them. That young lady that asked Obama about what was going on Standing Rock, with the Dakota Access Pipeline going through under our Missouri River. That young lady across the world, she helped bring the attention it needed here. The prayers helped bring that. And I know that our people in our hearts, we're all relatives no matter what nation we are. The Lakota people, Dakota people, my people, they have a spirit that they're born with, and that has helped this camp grow. And as I come every day, you know, I see different people, but I also know the ones that are here. I know the ones that have been here, and they're like our family. We're just all part of a big family here, and we all know we need to keep our water. Was sacred to us.
You were just talking about the disregard shown to your people, to the Native American people. So could you give examples? Because it is extreme. This is part of a long history of that. But I'm just wondering if you could share with me these disregards, I mean, what you're thinking of and this history.
You know, when I come here every day, and if my sons are up at the front lines and things are happening, you know, they watch out for us to not be there. And but Amy Goodman, she showed, you know, the nation of how the DAPL security, you know, putting their dogs on our people, macing our people, you know, doing these things, having live rounds. There's been examples of that. The police still having our highway 1806 shut down. When we need our ambulances to go through it, we have sick people from our reservation that need to go through. You know, they don't care. They still have the barricade, the blockade. But then I don't want to see Custer's house every day either now, you know, go by Fort Lincoln. So it's okay. I'll go around, you know. I'll go around on Highway 6. The most recent thing they did to our people was when they arrested our people and put them in jail and put numbers on their arms. When they returned their belongings, when they raided that camp up by the protest site up there, you know, they had urinated on their clothing or sacred items that are in the dumpsters and with dirt, and told them to dig through and find their items, whatever belonged to them. You know, that's so disrespectful. If they were gonna do that, they should have just kept them, you know. And I was here when we came in, and the young people were going, saw the police with all the lights, the DAPL security and police on the hill just east of here. And they made a bridge and it fell through, and you could see the police macing them. And the DAPL security shooting these rubber bullets at them, you know. And they just enjoyed it, you know. And I look for my sons every day when I come to camp, because I know that's the disregard I know they have. They would do anything to anybody, and they don't care. You know, they have no feelings. They don't care if they're breaking the law. The law only applies to the Indian people. You know, and they talked about a rancher on a gravel road, and that he fired shots in the air, and they are the North Dakota State Indian Affairs Commissioner had said at the gym in Cannonball, this rancher had fired shots in the air, and so they were worried about the camp and worried about the people. And you know, they tell us not to have guns, not to carry arms. And if it was the other way around, if we fired a shot, we would be in jail. But they didn't do anything to the rancher. And they didn't stay to ask, for us to ask questions, because I was gonna ask him, why didn't they pick up that rancher and put him in jail?
When was this?
This was just a couple months ago. You know, when they came, we had a meeting in Cannonball in the community.
And so you asked?
No, we couldn't ask, because they left. They came and made statements and comments, and then they left.
And today, when I was at the peace march at the gates to the storage facility for DAPL, there were 7 shots that were fired into the crowd.
No, the police won't do anything, you know, but they're ready to stop any Indians and to, you know, just to harass them. And, you know, that's what they want to do. And, you know, it's just making us stronger. We're just going to pray more, pray harder, and meet whatever challenges come our way. Continue to help us in prayer. Tell people what they're doing. Pressure your senators, congressmen, everybody that you can, that holds political office, to keep our water sacred. We want to have clean water. Sissy Goodhouse.
Thank you.
Arrestee meeting tomorrow at 2 p.m. Green meeting tent. And boys always come up. Really a big thing for them to share songs and our prayer songs with everybody here. Try to keep everybody in prayer. Keep everybody mindful and thinking in a good way, feeling good.
Kim.
You're riding your horse here at the sacred camp. I'm wondering if you could share with me the significance of the horse to you and in Lakota tradition.
This horse is my friend. I can tell him anything I want, and he won't tell nobody else, but he'll also give his life for me if I ask him to. But anyway, it's easy to ride around camp with your horse to check things out than trying to drive a car around here.
What is his name?
Hidalgo.
How long have you been here?
Off and on since April.
And where are you from?
Standing Rock.
From Standing Rock, so on and off. And could you share with us why you're here and what's
it? I'm here to protect our water, because without water you got no life. And then, I don't know, then it's getting to be personal because of the way the misjustice and mistreatment the cops are giving everybody and myself and my boy. And I'm kind of tired of it now.
Could you describe some of the things that have happened while you've been here at Standing Rock?
There's a hill there that's got 14 graves on it. They got, and it's 2 miles away from the pipeline. They got no business being on that hill 24/7 and spying on us guys like we're doing something wrong. And then they sit there and mace us when we try to go up the hill to pray for their forgiveness, for they do not know no better. But, you know, it's just kind of different.
And you've been providing security here to keep people safe at the camp. Could you talk to me a little bit about that and what it's like being here?
What we do is just make sure everybody's safe. If they need wood or food or need to know where to go someplace or something, we try to show them where it's at and how to get along with camp and certain protocols and everything else camp has to do with this many people. Just do the best you can, I guess. Gotta come and feel it to feel the real heartbeat.
Hi-ya, hey, 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 hi-ya, hey, 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 we won't back down. Hi-ya, hi. You can lock us up at the gates of hell and we won't back down. We will stand our ground. Hi-ya, hi, hi-ya, hi, oh. No devil, we won't back down. Hi-ya, hi. Way up high, oh. Way up, hey, hey, hey. Way up, hey, hey, hey. We won't back down. Way up high, oh.
The Youth Council is having a candlelight prayer ceremony right now over at the Seven Council Fires down over on the north side over here. We want everybody to join. You guys want to go down there and join the youth? They have candles for everybody. So go support them over on the north side over here, Flag Row. Follow this young man right here. Got his hand in the air. Wave it like you just don't care. So go down there and support our youth, please.
To support the water protectors, please go to standwithstandingrock.net. From the kitchen table out on the road, I'm Sabrina Artell. Thanks for joining me for Sabrina Artell's Trailer Talk. The music for the show, Patti Smith, People Have the Power. Trailer Talk is produced by Sabrina Artell. For more information, please visit trailertalk.net. Special thanks to WJFF Radio Catskill and the numerous people who have donated their time, resources, and conversations to make Trailer Talk possible. Thank you all who joined me in these conversations. I'm Sabrina Artell. Safe travels.